So if you have been with us the last couple of weeks, we're trying to figure out who I am. Casey's been trying to figure that out for over 50 years now. We cannot enter into transformation unless we first know who we are and allow Him to transform us. The first step of transformation is knowing who you are. Proverbs says in chapter 8, verse 17, in the Amplified, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently find me. So it's early right now. At sunset, it was the beginning of a new day in the Hebraic calendar. So you're going to seek the Lord in a few minutes, but I'm going to help you seek the Lord to find out who you are. We started this series by talking about the fact every person who's ever walked the earth has Father's DNA in them. He formed us, He breathed on us. And He left seven gifts of the Father, redemptive gifts, motivational gifts. Every person, believer or pre-believer, has at least one of these gifts in them, and tonight we're going to find out what your gift or gifts are. As we've seen the past few discussions, every person who ever lived has some of these grace gifts of the Father. We looked at them, we called them the redemptive gifts because Adam lost them, Jesus redeemed them at the cross. They're in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Since we have gifts which differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who sows with mercy, who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Tonight we're going to look at a brief description of each of these seven gifts. They're based on C. Peter Wagner's Finding Your Spiritual Gifts. C. Peter Wagner was one of my spiritual fathers. We'll look at these gifts from the perspective of how they functioned in the redeemed believers in Christ. So we're not going to look at how they function in the world. We're going to look at how they should function through us. We will also complete a modified survey to help you identify which of these seven gifts you may function in. So yes, you are going to take a quiz. Prophecy. The gift of prophecy is a special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance. And you can look up the scriptures. All of these messages are online, and when you take the quiz, I'm going to tell you what to do and go back and look at last week. Service. The gift of service, sometimes called the gift of volunteer, is the special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to identify unmet needs involved in a task related to God's work and to make us make use of available resources to meet those needs and to help accomplish the desired results. We must be sure we don't confuse the gift of service with the gift of helps. Those are two different gifts. Helps is not a gift of the Father. Teaching. The gift of teaching is a special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to communicate information relevant to the health and ministry of the body and its members in such a way others will learn. If you, I'm going to say it this way, and I already felt Lisa cringe. If you ain't learning nothing, then there's not a teacher in the house. English is a terrible language to waste. Exhortation. The gift of exhortation, sometimes called the gift of counseling, is the special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to minister words of comfort, consolation, encouragement, and counsel to other members of the body in such a way they feel helped and healed. Giving. The gift of giving is the special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to contribute their material resources to the work of the Lord liberally and cheerfully, above and beyond tithes and offerings expected of all believers. Leadership, also called ruling. The gift of leadership is the special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to set goals in accordance with God's purpose for the future and to communicate these goals to others in such a way they voluntarily and harmoniously work together to accomplish those goals for the glory of God. And mercy. The gift of leadership. Oh boy, how did I do that? Well, I didn't proofread this slide. I will look this up while you're taking the quiz. Huh?
I think the rest of it is the first part.
It was there?
Because it says genuine.
Yeah, I think it's just the first part. Ah, yes. The gift of mercy is the special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to feel genuine empathy and compassion for individuals, both Christian and non-Christian, who suffer distressing physical, mental, or emotional problems, and to translate such compassion into cheerfully done deeds to reflect Christ's love and to alleviate the suffering. I read a Facebook post last night about the leading scorer in NBA history. I won't mention the name. From another NBA player who quoted all of his points, but then said he had zero empathy, zero compassion, zero morals, zero. He definitely didn't have the gift of mercy. So, if you would, Tiffany and Zoe, pass out the surveys. You thought I was kidding. I will have all of these online. If you're watching online, grab a piece of paper and write numbers 1 through 35 on your paper. And you'll see why in a minute. They are also giving you pens, so I don't want to hear I don't have anything to write with. I don't want you coming up afterwards and say the dog ate my homework. My pen ran out of ink and I don't know who I am. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 35 statements. And you mark the extent to which each of these statements is correct in your life. How is it applicable? Not, well, I think if I'm a super saint, I should be doing this. No, it's what are you actually doing? How you actually live. If you're doing it a lot, you write a 3. So 3 is the highest number you can score an individual statement. If you're doing it some of the time, you give it a 2. If you do it a little bit of the time, you give it a 1. And if you never do it, give it a 0. And be honest. Listen carefully to the adjectives in the statement. For example, if one of the statements is, I always eat liverwurst with onions, always would make it a no for me. Do you see? It's a funny statement, but that's how you look at it. If something says, the statement says you're doing it all the time, but you're only doing it a little, then you've got to answer it that way. So you've got everything I'm going to show on the screen. I'm going to go through these quickly. It took me 7 minutes to take this quiz, but I'm going to take about 30 for the people online. Number 1, I have a desire to speak direct messages I receive from God in order to edify, exhort, or comfort others. So you write, if you got your paper at home, you can just on that paper right next to the statement, write the number, 3, 2, 1, or 0. And at home, just next to number 1, write your number. Number two, people have told me I have helped them learn biblical truths in a meaningful way. All the time, some of the time, a little bit of the time, none of the time. 3, 2, 1, 0. Number three, I have verbally encouraged and helped the wavering, the troubled, or the discouraged. Number four, I find I manage money well in order to give liberally to the Lord's work. Number five, I have a desire to work with those who have physical or mental problems in order to alleviate their suffering. Number six, when I speak, people seem to listen and agree. Number seven, I enjoy being called on to do odd jobs around the church. There is no age too young to take this, as long as they can answer it from what they actually do. Number eight, through God, I have been used to reveal to others specific things which will happen in the future, and they have come to pass. Number nine, I feel I can explain the New Testament teaching about the health and ministry of the body of Christ. Number 10, I can effectively motivate people to get busy and do what they are supposed to do. I just heard all the moms exhorting their children to clean up their rooms. I guess that just lowered the score. Number 11. My giving records show I contribute considerably more than 10% of my income to the Lord's work. Number 12, I have offered to care for others when they have material or physical needs. Number 13, other Christians have followed my leadership because they trusted me. Number 14, I do not have many special skills, but I volunteer to do what needs to be done around the church. Number 15, people have told me I have communicated timely and urgent messages which must have come directly from the Lord. Number 16, I can devote considerable time to time to learning new biblical truths in order to communicate them to others. Number 17, people come to me with their afflictions or suffering because they know I will listen to them and understand. Number 18, when I am moved by an appeal to give to God's work, I usually can find the money I need to help. Number 19, I enjoy visiting in hospitals and/or retirement homes, and I feel I do well in such ministry. Number 20, when I set goals, others seem to accept them readily. Number 21, others have mentioned I seem to enjoy routine tasks and do them well. An old rock and roll song comes to mind. Take out the papers in the trash. Number 22. I sometimes have a strong sense of what God wants to say to people in response to particular situations. Number 23. I feel I can communicate significant truths to others and see resulting changes in knowledge, attitudes, values, or conduct. Number 24, I have a desire to effectively counsel those in need. Number 25, I am so confident God will meet my financial needs, I do not hesitate to give to his work sacrificially and consistently. Number 26, people call on me to help those who are less fortunate. Number 27, others have mentioned to me I am a very hospitable person. Number 28, I prefer being active and doing something rather than just sitting around and talking or reading or listening to a speaker. Number 29, I frequently feel I know exactly what God wants to do in ministry at a specific point in time. Number 30, studying the Bible and sharing my insights with others are very satisfying for me. Number 31, I have helped others find a biblical solution to their affliction or suffering. Number 32, I have been willing to maintain a lower standard of living in order to benefit God's work. Oops. Number 33. I frequently enjoy spending time with a lonely, shut-in person or with someone in prison. Number 34. When I am in charge, things seem to run smoothly. And number 35, I respond cheerfully when asked to do a job, even if it seems menial. It's fun watching some of you respond to these questions. So do you have answers for all of them? Okay, on your last page, you have a sheet that looks like this. So on the first line, you want to write your number for question number one above the line, question number eight above the line, question number 15 above the line, and so forth. If you add a three for all of those five questions, your total over on the right-hand side is a 15. So you're going to score that sheet now and come up with seven total scores. It's pretty simple math. Ought plus ought is still ought. Yes, I have an abacus. I have an abacus right here, and if you need to get above 10, take your shoe off. I trust if those of you watching online or listening to the do 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 do. I'm not going to tell you to put down your pens. When you put them down, I'll know you're ready to hear the answers to your questions. There is no greater or less than. You either are or you're not. This is the way Father made me. So I have two high and two low and three in the middle. What's that mean? Absolutely nothing. It means that I probably function in those two high gifts all the time. And I probably function in those two low gifts only when Father and Holy Spirit need that gift to be present. And the ones in the middle come and go as the needs arise. After all, we are made in His image and His likeness. And if there's no one else around, He'll either use me or a donkey. I prefer you use me. Is everyone ready to move on? Okay. Some are yes, some are no, so the no's win. For those of you online, go get another snack. Come back in a couple minutes. For those of you in the house, there is a celebration next door in the fellowship room when we're done. Because you all know who you are, you'll be able to talk with everybody about it. Anyone need?
Andy, are zeros in also?
Yes. Zeros are easy to add in. On this survey, I didn't have any question that had all zeros. I had a couple that had zeros, but not all of them.
But not all zeros.
But not all of them. On the full gift survey, I have some that have zeros, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Yes, that's not on the survey anymore. So for those of you who are done, I'll just tell you a story. When we first started taking these spiritual gift surveys 34 years ago or so, our son was 9, and they had another gift in the total series. These are just the 7 gifts of the Father. There are 28 gifts. There were a couple other gifts in it at that time. And Bill's highest gift was martyrdom. And when Casey looked at the results, she started to cry, "Oh no!" They don't put that one on the survey anymore. But he was a youth pastor for 15 years. You can't talk about a martyr any more than working with youth for 15 years and going after them in the jails and everything else. So, you ready? Here we go. The first line is the gift of prophecy. The second line is a gift of service. The third line is the gift of teaching. The fourth line is the gift of exhortation. The fifth line is the gift of giving. The sixth line is the gift of leadership or ruling, which means the 7th line is mercy. And yes, if you've taken this before, they do change as we grow and mature in the Lord. They do change. So if your top score was prophecy, that means the Father probably uses you in that gift. So who are you? You need to take these scores and go back and look at last week's message, which highlighted the pitfalls and the strengths. It highlighted the blessings. It highlighted things to be aware of. It highlighted the curses that will try to come against you to steal this gift. And so you need to see where you are, who you are, and how the enemy is going to try to keep you from being who Father created you to be. And also see how Holy Spirit wants to use you to expand the kingdom of God. I am who I am. That's who I am. I am the way Father made me. I can moan and groan about it, or I can embrace it and enjoy Him in me and enjoy Him in you. I am my Father's son. You may be your Father's daughter. This is one of my handles on the internet, Father's son. I know who I am. I am not a chemist. I am not a husband. I am not a father. I am not a pastor, never have been, probably never will be. I'm not what the world thinks I am. I am my Father's son. Father, I thank you for showing us who you have made us to be. I thank you, Lord, for revealing the character of your DNA in each of us. Father, I pray whether people embrace this in the house or online, they will embrace who you've created them to be, so you can prosper them as their soul prospers in you. Father, I ask you to set them free from wanting to be what someone else's gifts are and embrace the gift you've made them to be, so collectively we can be each joint working together for the bride of Christ to take your kingdom forward in this region and in the nations of the world. Father, I send your sons and daughters to prosper and be in health and who you've made them to be in Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a blessed week. If you're in the house or close to the house, come on down. We're going to have a party to send Katie out. Snacks are in the next room. If you have questions or you need prayer, there's people up here to pray with you. If you have questions, I'll hang around to help answer your questions.